Wisconsin Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner introduced a bill yesterday that would stop the NSA's massive surveillance efforts. As word has leaked that the NSA has been now spying on U.S. allies, including German Chancellor Angela Merkel. There's also a big rally in Washington, D.C. this week, and thousands rallied against the NSA's domestic and international surveillance in Washington, D.C., which prompts today's big question. Should the NSA, the National Security Agency, scale back the collection of phone and internet data of American citizens and U.S. allies? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 30th. We welcome our guest, Donald Downs, Professor of Political Science, Law, and Journalism at UW-Madison. Good morning.
Morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being with us. So, Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner of Menominee Falls, along with Democratic Senator Pat Leahy of Vermont, have introduced what they're calling the USA Freedom Act, which would say, well, it would end the NSA's indiscriminate collection of personal information. What's your initial reaction to this bill?
Well, it's a product of a lot of things that have been divulged, especially since Edward Snowden made those leaks. People have known about this kind of program, but which really started in, let's say, the PRISM program, which started in 2007, which really expanded NSA's reach. But until Snowden's divulgations, nobody really knew the extent of it. And basically, it's about 2 billion communications a day that the NSA looks at. So really the scope is something that really surprised people, and that's really a product just of, you know, technological change over the last several years. So it's time for kind of a reconsideration of this to, you know, draw the right balance, I guess.
Yeah, Sensenbrenner maintains that the U.S. faces real threats and that the intelligence community needs the proper tools to keep us safe. But he says the Patriot Act was not created to gather data of innocent Americans, and that if all of our phone records are relevant to counterterrorism investigations, what else relevant to these investigations? So the Patriot Act was not created to gather data of innocent Americans. Sensenbrenner wasn't he an author of the Patriot Act?
Yeah, he was. And you know, originally, the Patriot Act sort of coming off legislation that started in 1978 with the FISA Act, which set up the special FISA court to look at foreign intelligence surveillance. You had to show that there was that the primary purpose of the search by the government was for foreign intelligence, looking for, you know, communications with foreign agents or people working with foreign agents. And so you had to kind of have that kind of cause before you went into looking at the communication. And what's developed since then is, rather than looking at the content, you would simply look at who was calling whom, you know, addresses, things like that, rather than the content of the message. And the government originally, George Bush, argued that you didn't need any kind of judicial supervision for that, any kind of warrant for that. And in 2005, New York Times showed that we were looking at just, you know, the not the content of the communications, but, you know, where they were going, who was sending what to whom. And that really expanded the program.
I recall that it was in the news that if a, you know, suspected terrorist called me, then my phone records were
right,
being tapped. But the NSA is not just randomly tapping innocent Americans' phones, are they?
Well, they're not looking at the content necessarily of, at least that's not what James Clapper, who's the head, the director of national intelligence, said. They don't do so wittingly. There have been thousands of cases that have come up where they have accidentally looked at some content without going to the court to get a warrant, the FISA court. But that's, you know, that's a thousands out of billions of communications. So it really depends on which end you look at. If you look at it, you know, thousands of people have accidentally had the content of their communications looked at. But that's out of billions and billions of communications. So from another perspective, it may not be that much. But the problem is that you can learn a lot about a person without looking at the content, just looking at the metadata itself. You find out, you know, who they're communicating with. You know, are they calling a gynecologist? Mm-hmm. Are they calling some, you know, think they might, you know, doctor that deals with AIDS? So you can get a lot of you can infer a lot of personal information just simply from the information regarding where the communication's going.
Yeah. I don't mean to press this point, though, but they're not collecting my information unless they suspect a terrorist has been in contact with me. Is that right or not?
Yeah, unless what they do is that they look at all the different communications and they look to see for logarithms that indicate patterns that are typical of people that are engaged in terrorist-type activities. And then they're supposed to go to the FISA court and get a warrant to look at the content.
All right.
So, and, you know, for a long time, 1976, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that your bank records, for example, the government doesn't need a warrant to go after your bank records because that's not content. And also because you've surrendered your information to a third party, the bank, which means that you've sort of tacitly consented to giving up your privacy right to that information. So in some ways, the approach to all this metadata is an extension of that kind of ruling by the Supreme Court way back in the 1970s.
So why does the NSA want to tap German Chancellor Angela Merkel's phone?
Well, because governments have been prying into each other's business, spying on each other since time immemorial. Even with, you know, certainly you have a reason to tap your enemies because they're doing that to you, and you want to know what, you know, for national security reasons, you want to know what they're up to. But sometimes you want information on allies, too. You might get a new government that's going to be more hostile to you, and it's useful to know, you know, what they're up to because governments are doing, they're acting on a bunch of different fronts, and it's good for a nation to know what other important countries are doing.
And it's probably, Germany's probably doing the same to the U.S., or, I mean, allies do this to each other all the time?
Yes. And, you know, even we have, there's a famous a man named Pollack, I forget his first name, Israeli citizen who's serving time in prison, long prison sentence for spying on the United States. And Israel and the United States are very close allies. So, yeah, I mean, I look at the spying on our allies as a whole different category from spying on citizens.
Well, Angela Merkel was shocked and dismayed.
Right. She's going to be. And, you know, I'm not sure how much of that is fully sincere. I mean, they went after her cell phone, which is a little different from going after her official phones. So maybe she's mad about that, too. But, you know, there is a difference between, say, public outrage and what you're saying privately. It's when Israel bombed the Iraqi nuclear plant back in 1981, there was universal outrage among nations. And then behind the scenes, a lot of them called up Israel and said this was a good thing to do. So you have to be kind of, once you're dealing with level of pure statecraft, sometimes, you know, diplomats are, one phrase about diplomats is that they're paid to lie on behalf of the United States.
Yeah. Well, you know, I saw some reaction from, for example, Republican Congressman Peter King was saying, hey, we got to continue to do this. This is important for national security. And he was specifically talking allies, too, and saying you know, the president should stop, you know, apologizing for it.
Right. Well, the two problems are, one is, again, apparently similar to the problem with the metadata on citizens is the extent of it, because of the technological capabilities. So apparently we're doing more of this than we thought we did before. And as Dianne Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, who apparently has just come out, been a big supporter of NSA all along, who now claims that this has gone too far, and because it's not supervised in the same way as the domestic spying is through the NSA. The FISA courts apparently don't have much jurisdiction over this kind of thing, and that bothers her.
Well, the president was saying that he did not know that the ally spying was going on,
right,
and the NSA is saying, yeah, you did. What's going on there?
Yeah, well, I don't know for sure. And President Obama has made that kind of claim about several things in recent months. It's hard to believe he, A, wouldn't know about this, at least in general, right? I mean, this is what states do. He's the commander-in-chief. Or, you know, maybe he's pulling a fast one on us. I can't really tell. One thing that I think we need to be aware of here is just the, you know, we have 34 different government agencies, at least. They're engaged in different forms of intelligence. I mean, each military branch has its own intelligence office. You have the CIA, you have the FBI, you have a new director of national intelligence. So there's all sorts of this stuff going on. And apparently, even the NSA, which is by far the largest, is just mushroomed since 9/11 especially. They can't even explain to the FISA court, which is a special court that deals with, you know, foreign intelligence warrants and things like that. They can't even explain to the FISA courts what they do. The FISA court doesn't really have a grasp on what's going on with the NSA because it's so huge and complicated. No one really knows for sure.
We are talking with Donald Downs, a professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison, talking about today's big question. Should the National Security Agency, the NSA, scale back on the collection of phone and internet data of American citizens and U.S. allies? What questions do you have about all of this? What are your thoughts? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. You can also vote in our online poll, which is at WPR.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the big question. We're wondering if the NSA should end its surveillance of Americans and our allies, at least scale back on it. We are talking with Donald Downs, a professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison. We did, by the way, invite U.S. Representative Jim Sensenbrenner to join us to talk about the bill that he introduced yesterday that would stop the NSA's massive collection of phone and internet records, but his office did not respond to that invitation. Let's take some calls from John in Madison first. Hi, John.
Hi. Well, this is a big question. It's a question of whether the United States citizens are going to allow the security agencies to establish a police state. You know, James Clapper lied to our representatives so far with impunity. He knew what this would trigger. We still don't know what level of metadata will trigger a further textual surveillance of the citizens. It suppresses our rights to have a free press. They can check all the sources now that they want to just with metadata. And it really suppresses the citizens being secure in their right to have their conversations with each other, not regulated by the state. People that say, well, if you're not doing something wrong, you shouldn't bother about it. Well, we've already had a past that showed that the CIA and the FBI went after the communists, the socialists, and then they went after the civil rights movement. They went after the anti-war demonstrators. Hoover used his sources to blackmail the president. You know, Kennedy, JFK was blackmailed by Hoover. Bobby Kennedy was told to lay off or they were going to go, Hoover was going to come after him. We have got to stop this right now. Nobody wants to know, have the state knowing, you know, where you Google, what sexual things you look at, whether you have infidelities, your drinking habits, smoking, gambling, all your political views. Do you hate your boss? This has got to stop now.
Professor Downs.
Well, let me start by saying I certainly agree with the caller that the claim that I do nothing wrong, therefore I don't care if this happens, is a problem. And the examples that he talked about were before 1978 and the FISA court was set up. So at least the FISA court was a compromise. Coming out of the FISA Act of 1978 was a compromise between civil libertarians and those who just wanted unchecked executive power to survey Americans that might be associated with foreign agents. Because it did set up a mechanism whereby foreign intelligence surveillance had to pass through a court. Now, the problem is the FISA court has been very permissive over the years. The standards have been very low. Seldom have they ever, out of thousands of requests from the government, turn down request to look at content. And so I think what we need, we need to have intelligence on this stuff. I mean, it's a dangerous world. And, terrorists have potential access to very serious weapons. But we do have to do something to tame sort of what's going on. We have a vast kind of apparatus, as I've alluded to before, engaged in this kind of spying. And I think what you need is another step where, in order to justify a kind of metadata sweep, some sort of cause has to be shown for this is a certain sector of communications we're going to be looking at. Rather than just looking at all of them, you have to find some sort of justification to narrow it down, at least, and have the FISA court involved in that so you get more checks and balances in play. I mean, there are really two separate kind of ways we can restrict this. I mean, one is just say, no, you can't do it. Well, maybe three ways. One, you can't do it unless there's really very specific cause, which is what's generally required under the Fourth Amendment for regular law enforcement, right? You've got a probable cause to go after certain people. That's one thing. But with foreign affairs and national security, it's always been a laxer standard because of the necessity of the situation. So then you need to find at least a way to kind of narrow this stuff down and get more checks and balances into the system to try to ensure civil liberties. So I wouldn't go as far as the caller, but I think the caller's right that we need to rethink this stuff a bit and to ensure that we're not just giving a blank check to the government.
Thanks, John, for the call. Darlene on Facebook says, where was the outrage when George W. Bush began the Patriot Act, whereby the NSA spying and listening in back in 2002 and 2003? It is only the GOP's upset now because of their dislike of President Obama, and it is reported like it is a brand new program, not one that has been functioning for 10 plus years.
Yeah.
Has been going on for 10 plus years?
Well, there's always going to be a little bit of that, mm-hmm. You see it on both sides of the aisle. When the other side's president, the other party's president, the other party has the presidency, there's going to be a partisan kind of thing going on here. There's no question in my mind. But I very much doubt that that's all that's going on. And, there is a libertarian angle to the Republican Party, at least a major part of it. The Republican Party right now is at war with itself, and one of the actors in that war is the libertarian ideology. NSA has been around since 1952. And before 1978, presidents, starting with Franklin Roosevelt, engaged in, through executive requests, spying on foreign agents and American citizens they considered tied to foreign agents. So FDR did it, Truman did it, Eisenhower did it, and then Nixon did it. Kennedy did it, and then Nixon. And we got the FISA court because of the abuses that Nixon inflicted on the country. The first caller talked about that. It got out of control. Nixon called anything that threatened him national security. And so it was because of those abuses and then some abuses the caller talked about with the CIA that led to the hearings by Frank Church and Congressman Pike, the Pike and Church hearings in Congress in the 1970s, that set up restrictions on what the government can do here, and that led to the establishment of the FISA court. So we've had this long kind of history, basically starting with World War II.
Yeah, but President Obama, can he just say, that's it? I saw headlines saying he's considering ending the spying on our allies.
Yeah, that's probably something that can be done through an executive order. It would be my guess. If he does it, we're going to find other ways to do it. That's something that the state probably has to do. We have to be kind of realistic about these things. But you can put in limitations on it. You can temporarily suspend it. Sure, you have a lot of options.
Yeah. Well, what's your assessment of Jim Sensenbrenner's bill that would at least curtail the massive collection of the phone and internet records? Do you think that Congress is going to go for that?
I think there's a good chance, depending on how it comes out, if it still gives the government the ability to do what it has to do, but in a more constrained way. I think there could be a lot of consensus around that, especially because you have Democrats that are expressing that concern. Dianne Feinstein has been this sort of carrying the flag for NSA until just yesterday or the day before. And you have people like Rand Paul, who are a libertarian branch of the Republican Party. interestingly, you know, Sensenbrenner is often longtime considered himself to be sort of associated with the libertarian branch of the Republican Party, even though he was one of the authors of the Patriot Act. You have to remember, you know, the Patriot Act came after right after 9/11. In American history, there have been two major crises that led to what I would call the development of the modern national security state. This is massive bureaucracy. One was Pearl Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
And the 1947 National Defense Act was the first major reorganization of national defense bureaucracy in the country in a long time. And that was 6 years later a response to Pearl Harbor. We can't let this ever happen again. And then over time, after, you know, the Cold War wound down, and and the limits were put in place, and from a bureaucratic perspective, a wall was put between national sort of domestic law enforcement and foreign intelligence enforcement and surveillance. And that wall led to a lack of communication between the two sides, which helped made it difficult to anticipate the terrorist attack in 2001. So 2001 became the next great crisis.
Yeah.
We can't let this happen again. And then we unleashed this new bureaucracy.
We'll have to leave it there for the moment as we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Today's big question, should the NSA end or curtail its surveillance of Americans and our U.S. allies? This is the Ideas Network. Has the NSA gone too far with its monitoring of Americans? Or is it necessary to keep us safe? At what point does it become an overreach? What concerns you most about your phone and internet activity being possibly watched, or at least collected? Do you support Representative Jim Sensenbrenner's bill to reform the NSA and to end massive collection of phone and internet records? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about spying on Americans and on U.S. allies during this big question segment. Talking with Donald Downs, who is a professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison. And we're inviting your questions and we're inviting your answer to today's big question. Should the National Security Agency scale back on the collection of phone and internet data of American citizens and U.S. allies? Also in the news this week that the NSA was spying on German Chancellor Angela Merkel, among others. And we're talking about that as well. Well, we have callers and Facebook comments. We welcome yours as well at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Let's go to Pat in Brookfield. Hello, Pat.
Hey, guys. Yeah, overall, I think there's probably a little bit of overreach, you know, as there is with any type of government, you know, NSA, FBI, spying agency. I mean, after all, it is a spy agency. Everything we do can't be transparent. That's the nature of the business, and I think the intentions are good. Now, do we go overboard? At times, yes. Should it be something we can monitor, have a little more oversight on? Perhaps. However, I did want to respond quickly to the Facebook comment, and I almost spit out my morning coffee, but I remember breathless news coverage about, you know, three main stories during the Bush administration, Abu Ghraib, NSA warrantless wiretapping, and obviously Hurricane Katrina, which was well-deserved, but, you know, all the lacking public outrage that the Facebook user, I don't remember that not occurring. I think there was plenty of coverage, plenty of outrage. And if anything, it's the Republicans that are kind of in Obama's corner on this. I mean, for example, I saw Dick Cheney, of all people, on Fox News a couple of days ago defending all of these programs. So, you know, if she wants to see the criticism, I see a lot of that coming from the left and MSNBC and obviously like the libertarians that your guest mentioned. But you know, to make this a partisan thing and just Republicans attacking Obama on this, I think is just completely inaccurate.
There was outrage back in George W. Bush's day, Professor Downs.
Oh yeah, I mean absolutely there was. And but the Republican Party, the exception of Kosovo in 1999-2000, has tended to be the diehard sort of national security party more than the Democratic Party, and that, you know, helped Bush get reelected in 2004. And but you are seeing that split now. The rise of Rand Paul and that element. You think about, you know, Obama's recent escapades, to put it mildly, with Syria. Republicans weren't going to support him in bombing Syria for a lot of different reasons: war weariness, libertarianism, whatever you want to call it. So I think you're seeing a kind of a shift. I mean, the caller's right in general, but I think that you're starting to see change in the Republican Party that's making it more complicated to, you know, describe what it's up to when it comes to foreign affairs.
Yeah. Well, I did see some, you know, some reaction that somehow President Obama was the one who was the only one spying on German Chancellor Angela Merkel, for example. And what you were saying, though, is that type of ally spying has been going on for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's just sort of, you know, part of statecraft. And, you know, it's just a question really of how extensive it is and, you know, where it goes. But so that gets into the specifics of it. But the general issue, you know, does it go on, and is it part of what states do with one another, is the answer is yeah.
Yeah. Well, do we have any evidence that terrorist attacks have been thwarted because there's been all this NSA spying going on?
Well, there's a lot of debate about that. And some have claimed that, for example, I'm trying to remember a couple of examples that I've read about, and I can't quite remember them, that have been deterred by this. So, yeah, the L.A. back in 2000, mm-hmm. Wisconsin was playing the Rose Bowl there. I was right there, as a matter of fact. I was in that airport.
Oh.
There were some Al-Qaeda-linked sources that were coming down from Canada, and they got information about that. That was actually before 9/11, even. So that'd be one example. There have been a few others, too, but it's hard to really prove a negative, right? This would have happened without NSA surveillance. It's kind of hard to prove that.
Well, talk some, too, about why this is such a huge issue today. The reason why we even know about this is because of Edward Snowden, right?
Pretty much. At least the more recent stuff. I mean, the stuff that in 2005, when Bush was doing this without judicial overview, that was before Snowden. But it's just, you know, the extent of the stuff that Snowden has divulged, and, you know, it's going to keep coming. I think that's the real shock, was the scope, you know, the $2 billion communications a day kind of thing. And but anyone who's really been following it closely sort of understood this was happening anyway. There's a book called Top Secret America, published by two Washington Post individuals, and it sort of chronicles the rise of the national surveillance state since World War II, but in particular after 9/11. It's a huge bureaucracy, and this is where, you know, Republicans have long been concerned about the size of government, right? And Democrats tend to be more in favor of big government. This is big government on steroids that we're seeing here, and I think part of the problem, you can attribute sort of malicious intent to the NSA, or you can just say they're doing so much because of the growth, the natural growth in government programs, the competition among the different branches and the different agencies. There's a tremendous amount of redundancy when it comes to surveillance and spy programs. I mentioned there are 34, 36 agencies that are involved in it, and a lot of them do, you know, overlap a lot. And so you're just going to get this by a process of almost like natural evolution, the growth of a huge state that's going to be doing a lot more than was doing before.
Gary on Facebook says, no one should be seriously shocked that spies spy. We should be concerned when ours get caught. Hiring private contractors to save a few bucks might not work out too well for us in this regard.
That's a great point. And part of the national security apparatus that we've developed, half of it is outside contractors that have a lot of money at stake. You know, you go to Washington, D.C., you see all these new buildings that have gone up, all these new companies that are feeding off of this. And so it's, you know, the question, so the larger question just is, how do we get control over a state that just keeps growing and growing? And half of that is interface with the private sector. a lot of people are getting rich off of this.
And Edward Snowden was a contractor?
Yes, he was.
Yeah.
He was part of that big expansion of the NSA. Yeah. And I'll say about Snowden, you know, he's done some useful things here as a whistleblower, and we've had other whistleblowers that have come forth. But he has gone so far that he's actually given away secrets as to, you know, how the government is operating, what its, you know, sort of strategic logic is, what its tactical logic is. And that really crosses a line. Snowden is half hero, half potential traitor, according to most people, for a lot of people.
Well, how big a deal is are the revelations, the ally spying? How big a deal is this for the U.S., for U.S. foreign policy?
Well, it complicates it, at least for a short while. The trade talks are coming up with Europe, and apparently those are going to be made more problematic because of these divulsions. And, in a broader sense, when you can't talk in confidence with your allies and trying to, you know, plan strategy, et cetera, it's really hard to come up with a better policy. Our allies are going to be less open, more circumspect, more afraid of saying certain things that could get out. Secrecy is necessarily part of government. But in a democratic order, we have to maintain the right kind of balance between secrecy and accountability, and always err on the side of accountability, except when there's a really good reason that we have to be secretive. So you have to be, you can't be an absolutist about these things.
Should the National Security Agency, the NSA, scale back on the collection of phone and internet data of American citizens and U.S. allies? That's today's big question. Every Wednesday at this time, we find an issue facing the state or nation, and we discuss it with a guest or guests and you. And we welcome you to vote in our online poll as well, which is located at wpr.org/joy. Or call us right now at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Donald Downs, a professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. This is our big question segment, and we are asking whether the NSA should curtail its surveillance of Americans and our allies. With Donald Downs, professor of political science, law, and journalism at UW-Madison. And we welcome your input, your questions, your views at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our next caller is Tony in Sister Bay. Hi, Tony.
Good morning, Joy.
Morning.
I don't know where to begin, but I'll make it quick. I think we're playing with fire. When a government starts turning on its own people under the guise of anti-terrorism, it's the tail that wags the dog. We can't put that boogeyman back in the closet. Terrorism is a reality, and we are going to kill ourselves off by our own intelligence, and the paranoia that is created, this very radio show won't exist 10 years from now because people are going to be afraid to call in because their viewpoint isn't going to be correct, and the fear that we're all going to manifest will be our own demise. And fear is a very common emotion. We all have it. And I think this is just going to perpetuate a monster that we're not going to ever be able to put back in the barn. I'll take your comments off the air. Thank you.
Well, Professor Downs, where are we going to be in 10 years?
Well, I mean, obviously, the caller's on to something in terms of, have we set up this massive apparatus that we have to really be concerned about controlling? And we do. Now, I haven't seen anyone who's been prosecuted or threatened by the government for expressing viewpoints. I think the First Amendment right now is really strong in the United States. But the more I've looked at this problem, the more I've read about it, the more I really just see it as a problem of big government, period. And it has maybe a special concern given this particular area. But when you create this massive bureaucratic structure, you certainly have created a situation where there could be such abuse if the wrong people are in office. Say, you know, President Nixon had this kind of apparatus at his disposal. You'd have to be, you know, concerned about it. Now, Obama's gone after leakers more than any other previous president. Rather than having the most open administration in history, like he claimed, he's actually really cracked down on people that are leaking information. And leakers, I think, are sort of another check and balance in our system. It's always going to be problematic because they're leaking information that's not supposed to be leaked. It's classified. But the problem is we've classified so much information now. You know, there's confidential information, there's secret information, there's top secret information. And we've increased the top two categories way beyond bounds. So, yeah, is there potential for abuse given this major apparatus that we've set up? Absolutely. And that's why we have to discuss and be vigilant about it. But I haven't seen anyone persecuted by the government for their views, simply saying what they think, like the callers talking about.
Right. Maybe not prosecuted or persecuted, but I'm looking at a sign from the rally in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Spying is censorship, just that chilling effect.
Well, yeah, if it's given the extent of it and given the lack of democratic accountability on it. So I think what we need to do, because we have to spy, we have to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the next real threat is probably going to be cyber warfare more than simply a straightforward act of terrorism. You know, you have, you know, the weapons of mass destruction, et cetera, that they could use. But the real problem is going to be cyber security. And you can ruin a society with the right kind of cyber attack, right? You can take out our electrical matrix and everything. So, the only way that we're going to be able to handle that is with NSA-type technology. So we're going to have to keep this stuff, but we really need a lot. We need more democratic accountability, I think, for two reasons. One is simply to protect liberties, not allow it to go too far, and B, simply to have democratic accountability. So if we're aware of these things, we can trust the government more, as long as the government is more forthright in what it's doing. So it's sort of a delicate balance in both respects.
So you're predicting that I will have a call-in show in 10 years?
I certainly hope so.
I do too. Sheila in Wrightstown is with us. Hi, Sheila.
Hello. I kind of have to say that I would vote no, that I don't think that we should scale back on our allies. You know, obviously, I think that we should maybe consider that more in our own country. But I was in military intelligence in the late 80s, and maybe because of what was going on in the world at that time, but this is exactly what we were doing. And it surprises me that people are surprised that they didn't know what military intelligence means, what information gathering, what a signal interceptor, all of those things. It surprises me, like I said, that people are surprised that all of that was going on. And as far as I'm concerned, Edward Snowden should be tried for espionage. If I had done what he did when I was in the military, I would have been in big problems.
You would have been in the clink. Well, thank you very much, Sheila, for the call. So, but is it that what we don't know doesn't bother us, Professor Downs?
Well, there's probably something to that. But I think, you know, it's liberal democracy is based on individual liberty, the right to privacy, a lot of, you know, these important principles that are part of our constitutional republic. And it's sort of hard to reconcile that with some of the things that a state needs to do in order to protect itself and to protect those very liberties that it's there to protect. And that's sort of, you know, the classic constitutional dilemma. You go back to the Federalist Papers and James Madison. If men were angels, we wouldn't need government. But government is full of people that are not angels, too, so we have to make sure we control the government. So we need to conduct a foreign policy. We need to conduct to protect our national interests. We need to protect our security, because protecting our security is protecting our rights in the first place. The problem is the protector of our rights, we're also the protector ourselves, but also the government, that can also be a threat to our rights. So you have to draw the right kind of line in terms of accountability. At the same time, you let the government do the job that it has to do in order to protect our rights. So that's a kind of a morally complex balance that a lot of people in liberal democracies sort of have a hard time wrapping their minds around, because it involves a certain amount of contradiction or conflict.
Mike in Pewaukee is with us now. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for the call. I just wanted to take issue with the comment the professor made that you can't be absolutist about things. And I guess what I would say is that while we are a constitutional republic, part of the reason that we are that is because we have a constitution.
Right.
From that proceeds all of the laws that we have. And prior to that, we have things that we took as traditions, things like the Magna Carta. And those traditions are actually more fundamental to our democracy than even our constitution, which is that the rule of law applies to everyone. And that the real problem that is brought into the light by the issue of a guy like Snowden is the fact that we have set up a system, or a system of laws, that apply only to certain people in certain positions and not to everyone. And that everyone is in trouble if they do certain things, but this small group of people can get away with it. And I think that is one of the most fundamental corrosions to a democracy and to a republic that there is. There isn't anything else that's more important than that the law applies to everyone. And you can't just sort of ad hoc decide or post hoc decide that we're going to exempt people from certain types of actions if they're done.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by who's being exempt here? I'm not sure what you mean exactly.
Well, for instance, the FISA court is a court that applies to the actions of certain people. It doesn't apply to my actions. It applies only to certain people's actions. My actions are reviewed through the regular court system. The FISA court reviews the actions of people who are supposedly involved in some sort of law enforcement or some sort of national security effort.
I'm afraid we just have a minute to go, Professor Downs.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a question of what the law should apply equally to everyone, but the law can make distinctions. And it's a longstanding legal tradition that the rules that govern the government when it comes to foreign intelligence are different from the rules that govern, that apply to the government when it comes to domestic law enforcement, because it's a different kind of threat. And so one can have equal protection of the law, but the law can make distinctions in different areas, depending on what the national interest is.
Well, Professor Downs, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Okay, thank you.
Donald Downs, Professor of Political Science, Law, and Journalism at UW-Madison. You can continue voting online in today's big question. Should the NSA scale back on the collection of phone and internet data of American citizens and U.S. allies? It's at wpr.org/joy. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.